Audio kitchen.
You won't believe the static.
The audio kitchen. The audio kitchen.
Yes, it's running. You can't hear it. Well, you can't hear it go round when you're recording. Well, when you're rewinding or something, you can.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now we shut the door.
Tell it like it is, Professor.
In case you're wondering what's going on, you've tuned in to the Audio Kitchen. An hour of unprofessional and unprofitable recordings with me, your host, the Professor. I don't teach anything, I just profess. And if you've tuned into this program previously, here on WFMU, or on the internet via the archives at WFMU.org, welcome back. When I say unprofitable and unprofessional, what I really mean is amateur. Everyday people. And their recordings, that's what you're going to hear here every week at this time, if you listen. These recordings come in all kinds of shapes and colors, and many different types of media hold the meat of this kind of sound. We'll talk about it through the summer here. But like what we just heard at the top of the show, that was Terry McMahon, a singer-songwriter with a love for pussycats. Kind of a self-release, this tape, I guess. I found it at a thrift store in southern New Hampshire. And the cover was written in pencil, Kitty Love Songs by Terry McMahon. All the songs perfectly labeled on the Memorex J card. Not without talent. And he has a very nice keyboard, Terry. More of those Kitty Love Songs coming up in future weeks here. Going to get things going now with a audio letter. The first chapter of an audio letter. This is some correspondence between two gentlemen in 1966. And even though it's an artifact of the 60s, these guys are from a previous time. Actually, they were both born on the same day in the 1890s. And they're collaborators. A songwriting team. Fred, the guy you're going to hear, he's the music man. And Peter Conrad Hoffman, the recipient of this reel, way back when, writes the words. It was found in Florida by listener Rizia. Am I pronouncing your name right? Rizia, maybe? But we can assume maybe Mr. Hoffman retired to Florida. That's where it was found. He ended up in a pile of junk. And now it's here. Anyway, this is a really nice audio letter. But here in the beginning, not a lot of substance, just some atmospherics of what's going on in the lives of these two fellas. A lot of talk about what's happening with Peter's kids. And Fred warns Peter about his son's cigarette smoking. Even in 66, people knew that was dangerous.
Well, good morning, Pete. This is Fred on Sunday morning, February the 6th, 1966, and it's 8:15 on a bright, sunny morning, and it isn't too cold. Let me see what the temperature is. Well, it's 28 degrees. That isn't too bad. I think Sophie has that much down in Florida. They've had a cold spell. Well, Peter had a pleasant surprise yesterday afternoon. Idabel came in with Alan, and Alan had his little Belcore tape recorder along. So I was making a 5-inch spool, and he broke a piece off. So I said, let's get it let it go to waste. I'm going to patch it on here and put it on this tape that I'm sending to my friend Mr. Peter Conrad Hoffman up in Tilson. So Alan is just beginning to learn how to play this recorder, and it's a cheap one, Pete. It only costs $39. It's very good for speech, but it doesn't do music very well. Blanche just called in to me. They gave him this. I think he got it for a Christmas present. And they gave it to him for his first experience, to have something on which to learn. And later on, they may get him a better one. But it's perfectly good for speech. And one of these days, I'll get him to make a tape and send it up to you. Right now, he's a very, very busy boy trying to get through high school. And I don't think he's going to get into any of the professions, because this is a boy who would rather work with his hands. If he knew you and saw how you can work and the kind of work you can do with your hands, I think it would be a very good influence for him. Talking about breakfast, neither one have eaten breakfast for 10 years. We just have coffee. But she just called in. It started to snow. Well, it's now 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, February 5, 1966. And this is your fellow composer. Isn't that a nice title for us? Fred, at 8 Schoolhouse Road in Levittown, Long Island, New York. And I'm answering the tape that you made on February 3rd. I received it on February 4th. And here I am. I'm answering it on the 5th. Now, Pete, let's see. I've made you a tape almost every other day for the last week, so I'm keeping you informed as to what's happening. First, I'll talk about your tape. You're right, Sophie and Al are having recorder trouble. His speed is off, and that's what causes the distortion. Now, let's see. What else were you talking about? Oh, you have such a long walk to the post office. And in this weather, that's tough. See, I can realize that. I only have, to my near post office, I only have 3 blocks, and I don't want to do that. And especially if there's snow on the ground. And I have 4 blocks to walk if I need a paper. I used to have the store right on the corner, Whelan's, where I could get everything. And instead I have a steakhouse there that I could do without. Well, the next thing you spoke about, let me see. When you have snow up there, it's hard to get around. Well, that's right. Well, we've been fine so far. The snow hasn't bothered us much. Although Blanche will insist on going out and shoveling snow, and she came in good and sore the other night. Well, now, let me see. You're telling me that your son, Peter J., has a new job. Well, I'm glad of that. I know he wanted to make a change. I understand this one is closer to home for him. Well, your son Eugene is back again to work after a siege of illness. Well, they must like him when they want to give him a 6 months leave of absence with pay. They must think a lot of him. Did you say something about him trying to get a new job so that he'll only have to travel a half an hour a day instead of about 2 hours? You know, you were talking about his job being a high-tension job, and that he smokes too many cigarettes. Well, Pete, that sounds very, very familiar. That was me. I smoked my head off like a damn fool. And if I hadn't stopped when I did, by the grace of God, I wouldn't be here making this tape to you. It damaged my lungs, no getting away from it. And your son Eugene can possibly quit the cigarettes, he'll live 5 years longer. Let's see, Pete, what else were you talking about? Oh, you were talking about the things that Al is doing down there, that he likes playing golf, and he likes bowling, likes being with the fellas in the fire department, and he plays horseshoes and fishing. He loves his hobbies down there. He's having the time of his life. Well, all of that except the golf, all of those things were my hobbies, too. And as far as fishing is concerned, Pete, you say I could never go for fishing except to sit on the bank of a stream and hold a fishing pole in my hand and snooze and take it easy. Well, that was never my idea of fishing. I have done a tremendous amount of fishing, Pete, in my lifetime. And one of these days, I'm going to make a tape for you and tell you my fishing experiences.
Well, we don't get to hear the fishing stories. I'm sure they were good ones. Well, that was Fred. We'll hear from Fred again. But like I told you, his wife's name's Blanche. Talks about somebody named Ida Bell. A different time. Here's another audio letter. Much different audio letter. Rather low fidelity as well. Nothing I can do about that. But it's compelling nonetheless. Provided by listener John Mark. Who long ago provided the show with the tales of Granny and Ronnie in Arkansas. This time it's a story of, it's a love story in its own way. A tragic love story. Romance at a fast food outlet. Namely, Taco Bell. If I knew who was sending this tape, I forgot her name, but she's sending it to her friend Rachel. And the main focus of this letter, and probably of this woman's life, or I shouldn't say woman, it's a girl, she's 15, is Travis. Her first love, Travis, the manager of the Taco Bell. Well, she's head over heels in love with this guy. Although there's some problems with that. Like the fact that he's married and has a child on the way. But that doesn't prevent him from having her work in the kitchen near the back room where they can go mess around in the office. You know, they can drink sodas and smoke cigarettes and mess around. And of course, her family, at least her mother and her friend Rachel and anybody with any sense can see this Travis guy is a cretin. But nonetheless, she's ready to lose her virginity to this guy. Oh, man. Ouch. But apparently, it's been a good experience for her. She's gotten a lot more mature since she's been hanging out with Travis.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but yes, the man in my life is still Travis. I know, you hate me. I know. Don't yell at me, Rachel. I know. His birthday is coming up July 18th. I bought him a bottle of Adidas and a car, and I was going to get him an L.A. Lakers t-shirt, but it's still early. Today's only the 6th, so, you know, I'm pretty sure I can get it for him. I don't know if I want to, though. See, I know that you wanted me to get over him, and I tell you, Rachel, I was doing so good. See, we were talking, you know, before school got out and everything. We were talking on the phone and stuff and just talking. He told me all this stuff. And then, like, Sunday of the week before school got out, he had to cover a shift at Taco Bell for us. You know, they transferred him out here. Like, he opened. He worked 7 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I had to work that day, too, you know, like 10 to 4 or something. And I came in around 8:30 or 9. And Bought him breakfast and everything, you know. And everything was going really good, because when I went to Worlds of Fun, I bought him this parking sign that said, Travis's parking only, all other cars will be towed. And he just loved it and everything, you know. And he's still married and everything, and he's going to have a baby, but from what I understand, that baby isn't even his, and he wants a divorce, you know. I really haven't talked to him about it, because I'm afraid to ask him, you know. It's none of my business, really. Well, I guess it is in a way, but, you know, it really isn't in another way, you know. But, we were getting along really well, and we kept going back to the office to mess around and stuff, and, you know, things were going really good. And I don't know, we just, he put me in the back room in the kitchen. That's where I wanted to be, because back there you get to do whatever you want, you know. You can stand around and drink your soda and smoke your cigarettes and sit down, you know, just as long as you keep it caught up, get the prep done and the dishes done and cook the food and stuff. So the kitchen's really the easy part, and, you know, I liked it back there, and I wanted to be back there. So he said if that's what I wanted, that'd be where he would put me, you know. So he put me back there, and he was working front line with Misty, this girl at work, and she's not very pretty at all or nothing. I'll show her to you the next time she comes, you come down, okay? And she's a skank, really, but I like her, but she's a skank, right? And he kept flirting with her, and it pissed me off, because just the fact that he would flirt with somebody else anyway. And so he came back there chasing her back there, and he like had his arm around her waist, and I was standing there, I can't remember what I was doing, but I was doing something. And he saw me standing there, and he came over, he goes, ooh, I got both of them, and he tried to put his arm around me, you know? And you know how that attitude. So I said, no. I said, don't touch me. And he goes, what? I said, don't touch me. And it like really made a mess. I took off running, and he chased me back to the office. And I turned around, and I looked at him, I said, Travis, I said, you need to get your priorities straight. He goes, oh, I need to get my priorities straight. And I said, yes, you do. And he goes, okay. He goes, yeah, right. So I said, whatever. I said, look, I said, just stay away from me. I said, I'm not going to call you anymore. I said, it's over. I said, don't touch me. Don't come near me. And he goes, fine. And I said, fine. I said, I will not call you. I won't talk to you or nothing. He goes, yeah, if that's what you want. And I said, okay. And so he left, and he didn't even take me home. And he always takes me home, so I knew he was pissed. And then Monday night, I called him up at the mall to apologize, and I said, I'm sorry. And he goes, look, he said, don't call me, don't talk to me. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He said, you're the one that started this. He said, so remember, he said, when you start crying and feeling bad, he said, just remember, you're the one that wanted it over. He said, so stay away from me. So, like, I did not call him for 22 days, and I counted because I missed him and I loved him. And then after I got off work, I got off around 9:30 or 10, and Mom was waiting for me because I had to break down drive, and it took me longer than normal. And Mom was waiting for me, and so I went home, right, and I left my purse at Taco Bell, and I didn't even know it. I had everything in it. Rachel had my cigarettes, my money, everything, and I did not want to leave it there. So I called everybody I could think of, everybody, and nobody could go get it, or they couldn't get the car, or their car was broke down, or it was too late, or something like that, right? And Mom wasn't going to go get it for me. And so I called Travis the last minute out at the mall, and I said, hello, is Travis there? And he goes, yeah, this is him. And I said, I need you to do a really big favor for me. I want everybody again. He goes, who is this? I said, Christina. And he goes, Christina? He said, why are you calling me? And he goes, I missed you. He said, gosh, he said, what? Why haven't you called me? And I was like, look, I said, I need you to do me a favor. He goes, what do you need, baby? And I said, well, I said, I need you to go. I said, I left my purse. I talk about I need you to go get it. I'll never bother you again. I want to ask you for anything. He goes, yeah. He goes, I know you haven't called me in a while. I said, yeah, 22 days. And he goes, oh, look, she's counting. And I said, yeah. I said, I've been counting. And he goes, you still love me. And I said, no. I said, I missed you. I said, there's a difference. He goes, you still love me. And so he brought me my purse, and then I hadn't talked to him in a while. And then I called him one night, and I was talking to him, and supposed to get him his birthday present. And then I went out to the mall, and I was supposed to give it to him, but he, like, called in sick. He's been working too hard. But I think I'm just going to give him the present, and I'm not going to give him the card, and I'm just going to leave him alone and not talk to him and let him make the choice. You know, it's his decision, not mine. I shouldn't have to make all the decisions, right? Right. I need you to see it my way. But I don't know. Things are going pretty good. Hold on a minute, okay? Okay. I'm back. So anyway, I really don't go out very much anymore, you know? I've changed so much, Rachel. You're not even going to know it's me when you see me. I mean, not really my looks. Well, my looks have changed too, but I mean, I've gotten a lot mature, you know? I mean, it's from dating Travis, you know? But I don't go out very much anymore, you know? Mom says I can date now. I date every once in a while, you know? Last night I went out on a date with Chris Anderson, who works at Taco Bell. Well, actually, he's cute, but he's not really my type. But it's also because him and Travis were best friends before Travis got married and everything, and they went everywhere together. They did everything together. And it was kind of uncomfortable for me, you know, because I didn't really cause any trouble and everything, and I really didn't feel comfortable going out with Travis's best friend, you know. I mean, who knows what Travis would have told him about me, or told him about our, you know, so-called sex life or something. I mean, yes, I'm still a virgin, but it's not that I haven't had all these chances. I mean, like a f***ing guy in Colombia, I wanted to. I just don't want to. I mean, when I first met Travis, I knew that he'd be the first, you know what I mean? And so I kind of want him to be the first because I've kind of, I don't know what you call it, I've built him up in my mind to the point where it's got to be him, otherwise I'm going to be so disappointed, you know? And it doesn't have to necessarily be now. I mean, I'm only 15 years old, you know? It could be 2 years from now, it could be tomorrow night, you know? It could be the year 2000 for all I know. I mean, I want it to be with him because he was my first love, and as long as I can remember, I always thought that my first love would also be the first guy that I slept with, you know what I mean? And he is my first love, and I give up everything for him, you know? He still hurts. I mean, I sit at home at night, and I think of you, you know?
Here, come here. Here. Right there, hold this. Now hold.
So did you hear that? She'd do anything for that guy? What kind of mojo does this Travis guy got going on there? Oh, man. So the last couple pieces I've played here have come from listeners. And how would you like to join in on the fun? It's not hard. Send me a tape, send me a CD. It's all possible. I'll give you the address here if you want to get a pen ready. You can send it to The Audio Kitchen, care of WFMU, P.O. Box 2011, and that's in Jersey City, New Jersey, 07303. And if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, you got something you want to say, you can send me an email. My email address is prof@wfmu.org. prof@wfmu.org. Here's another audio letter, coming this time from Georgia Todd, a friend to this program and contributor extraordinaire. Kind of documents the change of life for a couple of young ladies. The 16th birthday. You know what that means? Trouble. The driver's license. Excessive dating. Lots of phone calls. But it seems this girl, Sarah, recently threw a big birthday party for Melissa for her 16th birthday. And so Melissa is responding with this audio letter. We're going straight now to Melissa's teenage bedroom. She's going to play a few songs that remind her of Sarah. Kind of a wild child is Sarah, and you'll hear some of her exploits. But these two girls are close. Close in the way that only girls can really be close, especially young girls. Guys are just, you know, less likely to share that much of themselves, but these girls share everything, secrets, all that stuff. This recording is in stereo, by the way, a rare treat. It's recorded on a stereo boombox. And there's more of this audio letter. It's a real nice one. It's the early 90s. And happy birthday, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Happy birthday. I know what you're thinking. This is really stupid or something. Like, this is a tape, and what in the world are you doing on this tape? But I just wanted you to remember your 16th birthday fully. Now, you know that my 16th birthday party was amazing that you put together. And but it's hard to compare, but I thought that maybe what I'd do is make you this tape so that whenever you want to look back on your 16th birthday, you can go back and play these tapes. Now, what am I thinking? I don't know. But what I do want to tell you, though, is that I truly want to wish you a happy 16th birthday and to please stay off the roads. Just kidding. No, but I mean, right now, big responsibility, huh? Getting able to drive and stuff. Believe me, I know. Especially after that one night after you went to my youth group with Caroline and Brandy in there and almost ran off the road. Well, you know what that is, like in the rain. And you were crazy, but except crazy at the wrong time. Well, I have a little song to play for you to tell you about this craziness that you have and your ability to drive. Hold on just a second. Also, one more thing. This is called To Go on a Wonderful Joyride. Now, it's already halfway through the song, but I don't care, so I just thought I'd go ahead and play it. Here it is. Also really a maniac, because if you also remember in that car there, we were stopped and there was this red light, and of course Sarah, as wild as she was at this time, where we were totally lost over near Buford Highway, of course this truck happens to pull up, and Sarah, you of course start screaming, "Woo, this is fun, we're yes!" All right, out the window, pouring down rain. This guy backs up his truck, and what does he do? He goes, "What are you girls doing? Going to a party?" And Sarah's like, "Yeah, woo!" Of course, this is what Sarah's here like. Of course, you know yourself, right? And the guy goes, "All right, can I follow?" And of course, me, you know me, little conservative Melissa, scares me to death. As soon as the light turns green, I skid out of there, out of the way. I made sure Caroline and Brandy made sure that they were that this guy wasn't following us. Of course, you know, right? Ha ha, good joke. And you're like, "Calm down, Melissa. This isn't a big deal or anything." Well, that's how we're so fine. Well, I have another song for you that describes you. You are a total maniac, Sarah. And it also comes from your favorite movie, one of your favorite movies, actually, Flashdance. Hold on just a second. I have this one for you. Hold on. Okay, let me find it. I'm in my room right now. See, my tape deck and stuff. Oh, here's your postcard of the four guys here from Key West, Florida. I don't know what you guys did with my stuff. It's somewhere here. Let me think. Where'd y'all put it? and Caroline were over here. I don't know what to do with my stuff. I can't find it. Thing. Well, hold on. I'm going to stop this for a second. Okay, I'm back. Hold on just a second. Here it goes. I think you'll remember the song real well. Hold on. I have to put it up to my speaker. Hold on. Here we go. That's in that song. Now, doesn't that pertain to you or what? I'm just kidding. Well, Sarah, you know you're not really that bad of a maniac. You know, you have a lot of fun. You're hilarious. Well, you know, we know so much about each other. You know, if we ever became enemies, we would both be so dead. I was just thinking about that the other night because, you know, we know so much about each other. You know everything about me. I know everything about you. And there's nothing that we don't know about each other. And that's really funny, because we could kill ourselves if we were ever enemies. But of course, we never will be enemies, because Sarah, you'll always be my best friend. And, I think, but the serious part hasn't come yet. That comes towards the end. You know, we need to get some more fun in here. You know, let's see. I'm trying to think right now. Let's talk about your love life. Let's see, now who was there first? There was Zion. Zion and you were good friends and everything, of course. And then let's see who else was there. Now I remember. Then there was Brian Hare. Brian Hare asked you out on a date. I remember that. And I was like, Sarah, I know he's going to ask you out and everything. There's no question about that and stuff. And then, let's see. Then there was Willie. Willie at my party, I remember, for my 16th birthday party. Y'all, I knew you were going to get together. You had to trust me on that, Sarah. And there's no way that you could not have trusted me, because I knew it. I mean, it was so obvious. Of course, and then you didn't believe, no, he'll never ask me out. Of course, I knew, didn't I? Didn't I, Sarah? Yes, she'll remember that. I'm just kidding, not to get any high on myself. Then there was, let's see. Well, Willie's over right now, and of course, Pace, you know, Sherry's boyfriend right now, just so you know, in years to come, that he always said, I'm sorry, Sarah. You remember that well. Of course, not. Well, of course you do. And then, let's see. Now, I kind of, you know who, if you remember, ever remember back to the States, Sarah, you'll remember who I say likes you right now. You know who, don't you? Of course you do. Jim Frazier. It's Jim Frazier. Shh. We won't say anything, though. Probably kill me if I knew, if you knew.
Listening to the Audio Kitchen. Glad you could be here. An hour of amateur recordings. This next feature is something I call a tape interrupt. Usually created by children. More than likely hopped up on sugar products. It's from around 1980, early 80s. And somewhere, somehow, they found a tape called, it was labeled Dallas 72. Matter of fact, the tape we found, I think Brian Bellott found this one. But, you know, I get so many tapes, I can't even remember where they all come from, you know. There'll be a box, and I'll finally find something and pop it in the deck, and it's actually interesting, and I try to remember, where did this come from? This is like that. But this is a tape, a souvenir of of a psychological convention in Dallas. And when I say tape interrupt, what happens here? And you'll hear more of these in the future here on the show. If the kids will play a little bit of the tape and then react to it. And then they'll play some more of the tape and find something witty or funny to say and continue this process. And these guys do this through this whole damn tape. And some of it's pretty funny. Some of it's stupid. But like most kids who make tapes like this, they have a lot of energy. And they're irreverent and a little spastic. And psychological.
Dallas, 72.
A year and a place with special significance.
Full meeting of the American Psychiatric Association.
You need it.
Smith, Klein, and French Laboratories.
Please fasten your seatbelts. Flight 702 will come into Dallas Airport in exactly 2 seconds.
Dallas. They were coming to learn, to see, and to do.
Don't do it too much. You might wear it out.
Which films they would view, with which panels they would become involved.
Don't become too involved.
Have the same atmosphere which attended both the San Francisco and the Washington meetings. Would another May Day be in the offing?
Vice Squad, coming to a theater near you. A theater near you.
The host city was Dallas, shortly before 9 a.m. on Monday, the 1st of May.
Also a very significant day and time.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what about us kids?
At Dallas 72, Paul Loewinger, George Vallant, John Talbot.
Bo Derek, Farrah Fawcett Majors, Cher, Peter Pan, an elephant, Mickey Mouse, my mother, and the Las Vegas Showgirls.
C. Talkington.
You idiot, that ain't the president.
58, Dallas had planned to have the American Psychiatric Association meet here, and for reasons beyond our control, it was necessary for us to call this meeting off.
Yay! Terrific! Bravo!
Forward to being host to the American Psychiatric Association.
And now the host of the American Psychiatric Association, here's Johnny!
Presidential address.
67 years ago, our forefathers gathered here to...
...of some of the critical issues that confront us and the elucidation of what I think are the important factors that we must consider in the decision-making process.
You really got a screwed-up microphone there, mister.
The American Psychiatric Association is an efficient educational and scientific association of physicians committed to the treatment and elimination of mental illness.
Shall we eliminate you?
This should be our contribution to health and the welfare of mankind. Thank you very, very much.
Authored with E. Fuller Torrey, which was a self-examination of the profession of psychiatry.
Hey, this guy's sick!
25 years.
Hey, I didn't know it was that long!
Of functions that were previously the domain of religion.
Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Me'eleh Hal... Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I was just practicing psychiatry.
Has been growing and gaining increasing acceptance.
If I know it's growing, I wouldn't be talking.
From approximately 250,000 to 200,000.
Come on! That many can't grow!
Surprising to find some transfer of functions from religion to psychiatry.
I'm sorry. This line is temporarily out of order. If you'd like to hear the rest of this stupid tape, please insert another nickel.
Okay, enough with the kids, right? Let's get into something a little more adult. No, I don't mean that. Grown-up stuff. Here's an answering machine tape that is pretty interesting. Not everyone is, you know. Feels like I've gone through hundreds of them, and sometimes not much comes up, but every once in a while you get a life story, or at least a little piece of one, and that's what this is. I found this at a junk store in Brooklyn. And this tape belonged to an important person, a rich guy. He's getting calls from politicians, the Republican Party, and a lot of secretaries of other important people. He's a desired guest at any meeting or party. And halfway through this tape, you hear a conversation that he has with a banker, money person. And he's trying to make more money in a sneaky fashion. You'll hear all about it. But then at the end of the tape, things go terribly wrong for this guy. His name's John, by the way. Terribly wrong. And he kind of falls out of the picture.
Thank you, sir. This is New York Republican County Committee. Mr. Stewart is calling you. It is now October the 8th at 2:50 p.m. And he would like you to call him back, please. Thank you.
So this is Elizabeth from Sondra Gilman's office. Mrs. Gilman is having an open house on Sunday, June 15th, that she'd love to have you come to. It starts at 6:30. It'll go on until everybody is ready to go home. And it's going to be a buffet dinner and strictly informal, which means sports shirt, something cool. She'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
Sarkadi Nebelsin calling Saturday afternoon about the Russian Easter party tomorrow, Sunday, May the 4th. Could you call me? Thank you.
That's also New York, and I'd just like to see whether we might be able to put you on the roster as a possibility for the board of directors tonight.
This is Stewart calling from Senator Roy Goodman's office. The time is now 3:30. Today's date is December the 12th. Could you please call me back? Thank you.
I'm calling to find out if you can attend a meeting with Mr. Townsend on the Hartford Trust on Tuesday in the afternoon. Thank you.
This is Judy at Regency Chauffeurs. It's Thursday at 2 o'clock. I'm just confirming your chauffeur for the 16th at 3:30 in the afternoon. Please call us and confirm it with us. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hi, Frank.
What's
how
nice?
Are you?
John, I was going to call you, but Bill Pauly told me that you were in transit this morning.
That's right.
I understood that you said that I had conversations where I reduced the down payment to 10%.
Well, in other words, I asked for $250, and he agreed. And then I heard from you that you agreed to $140.
You never heard that from me. John, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what you're thinking of. I would in no way ever negotiate down. Why should I negotiate down a purchase price? What kind of craziness is that?
Well, it's not a purchase price.
A down payment.
Yeah.
Why would I negotiate that down?
Well, what is the present status?
It's never been discussed with me.
Well, who told me 140?
Maybe he did. He said to me that he was going to put a down payment down. Maybe he said
I think maybe it was Bill Pauly then.
No, I don't think so, but I will check it out.
Well, I have
not under the impression
I have not spoken to Martin, so I've kept myself particularly out of this, so there wouldn't be
250.
Two people. There would not be two people talking.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, Frank, this is a closed wire, isn't it?
Fine.
I can speak frankly, can't
yeah.
I? Openly?
Sure.
This check from Marlboro.
Right.
Of course, I would love to get it outside of the country. Now, I don't have a tax problem, frankly, because I have some tax laws carry forwards.
That's what you told me.
But, you know, for other reasons, I'd like to get it out.
I know.
But I don't see how I can without, you know, they're going to ask you, the IRS will ask you, and look, you know.
The IRS, you have no problem with us saying anything.
Huh?
Just told me you have no problem with IRS saying anything.
No, I have no problem with IRS. Once the money is overseas, IRS will say, where did you put it? You put it, you know?
But do you, why do you care if we tell IRS that? If you have lost carryovers.
I do.
So what do you care?
You see, I think that there are other ways of my doing this. I don't know, unless you can think of it. Of course, I have to go overseas, don't I, to open the account.
Let me find out. Let me look into this, okay?
Yeah, you see, if the check was directly from them to me, and the whole transaction was outside the United States, I wouldn't ask you for any advice. I'd just ask you for
want,
the check.
If you'd ask me what?
For the check.
I'll get the check made directly to you. Why should it be directly? Oh, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's already done.
Yeah.
It's in your account. Earning 5%, which isn't very good at this time.
No. Hello.
Yeah, I...
Stating in the, in circle conversion to common, they must submit the proof that you're a trustee. So, Paul, I'm sure they have it here.
Yeah.
Something here.
Well, get it.
Yeah, that's why I'm waiting for Mr. Pauly to go through file, do whatever, because I got them both in Snitha's office while you called in. I was here.
Yeah,
so I got everything, because paragraph is, 5 is very important without this, you know.
Okay.
So I am exhausted. Can I leave early?
What's so exhausting? I don't understand.
I went to bicycle to 33rd Street, deliver that thing, then come back. And then going back there again, and then now I come back to the office, and then I have to come to your place, and then all that, you know, it's not, you know, it's really you think it's not hectic, you know, and I'm coming down with a cold.
Yeah.
Headache, okay. And I didn't even have lunch. I'm going to heat something up. I have my lunch with me, but I'm going to, at your place, while you look through everything, I'm going to...
You can't, all right, okay, fine.
Okay, bye-bye.
John, this is Kay calling from Syracuse at 926. I have two things that I'd like to discuss with you. One is one that might be of interest to your venture capital company, and the second, I want to give you some more information on this drilling program in Jamestown, New York. It's going extremely well. Thank you.
Is he going to be is he going to be out next week?
Yeah, he will be out sometime next week.
I see.
There's
is anything serious?
Well, it's not too serious, no. At least we're not too sure exactly, but... I'll tell you what, as soon as he has a number to be reached
at... All right, I'm at Ernst & Whinney.
Okay.
And he indicated that he was going to be in court next week?
Yeah, that's true.
When was he doing court?
That will be postponed, though.
Oh, it will be postponed.
Yeah, let me put you on to a secretary, because she's here right now.
Okay,
okay.
Fine.
So, hold on one more.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
He will be, okay?
Right.
Hold on.
Angela? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mr. Weinberg.
Yes, yes.
that
what
I...
What is there anything important?
Well, he had asked that I get something over to him by Monday that he needed it for.
I guess not now.
I assume that we have no rush, because what I was calling to tell him was that I would have it hand-delivered sometime Monday. But I guess there's no rush now.
No, there's no rush now. Is it to do with the trust?
Yes.
Oh, maybe he would... Hold on.
Yeah.
Mr. Weinberg, this is Bruce.
Yeah,
I'll tell
it has
you
to do with the foundation.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm gonna see him tomorrow. And he doesn't have a phone. He's in intensive care. He can't talk. So...
probably much better off if you don't even bring it up.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, I was supposed to meet with him yesterday.
Right.
He called me and told me he thought he might have a touch of the flu, and he sounded, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
But I guess something must have hit him suddenly.
Yeah, well, it happened pretty suddenly. He was okay until about 12 or so.
I see.
He's stable now and everything's fine. He's going to be fine.
Oh, good.
No problem there, but... You know, he doesn't have a phone in the room.
Well, look,
so,
I think that something like this is the least thing that you should...
Okay, I do know he has it on his mind. That's one thing.
All right,
tell you what...
if he has it on his mind, that's something else.
Yeah.
Then let's put his mind at ease.
I will ask him tomorrow what he wants to do about that.
You know, if he's not in any great hurry, that's something else.
Okay, I imagine he won't be in court next week, that being the case, that he doesn't need that right away.
All right, but you'll let me know, or his secretary...
I will let you know, or one of us will.
Thank you very much, and
okay.
I certainly hope everything comes out.
Well, thank you very much.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, oh, now I could hear you a little better.
Yeah. This is John Jr.
Yes. I was just wondering if your father was home.
No, he's not.
No.
He's not. Who's calling?
A friend. I'm a friend of Marcel Cassar.
Uh-huh. No, he's not here right now.
He go away this weekend, or?
Actually, he's in the hospital getting some tests right now. He's going to be in there for a couple of days.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry to hear that.
So, but he should be out in a couple of days.
I hope he'll be okay.
Yeah, he will be.
Oh,
it's nothing serious. Okay, but if you want to reach him, you can reach him in a couple of days.
Okay, dear.
All right?
Okay.
All right, bye.
Feels better.
Oh, he will.
Okay,
what's the word, dude?
All right, listen, dude, do you know the number to reach the nurse on Dad's floor? Because, like, those dicks won't connect you to the intensive care unit.
They won't?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I just called and she said, I'm sorry, we're not permitted to.
Hang on.
And I did it earlier today.
For patient condition, call...
I know that. He's in serious... I mean, he's still listed as under intensive care and in serious condition.
Right. Well, here's the number. It says, for patient condition... I've got the card. You remember she gave me the card?
Oh, right.
We are very concerned about you and have not been able to reach you. We called to see how you were feeling. Jackie and Luke.
And we leave you with this thought. Looks like nature caught up with John there. Got all these deals going on, all this business. Then the old ticker quits or whatever happened there. Life's tough. Well, thank you for tuning in. Next week, an hour of kitty casting. That's children broadcasting to their friends and family via their tape recorders. Stick around for that. Next week, same time, same place, same lifetime. The professor signing off. The audio kitchen is over. See you next week.
Goodbye.
WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and on the internet at WFMU.org. Here's Sue.